Anyway, on the line now is Pete Tobit. He's the producer of the Official Sun Records concert show, which is coming to the Camberley Theatre on May the 12th. Welcome, Peter.
Thank you so much for having me, Lee.
No, that's great. I mean, when I saw this coming in, I said, I've got to see the show and I've got to talk to somebody because I love Memphis. I've been to the Sun Studios two or three times. I know Jerry Phillips, Sam Phillips.
He's a lovely guy.
He's great.
I was very fortunate to have met Knox before he passed away. And that place is just amazing, isn't it? I mean, like, Memphis is R&B and blues, and it's wonderful, and it wasn't back in the day. But 706 is just three small rooms, and the amount of talent and content to come out of those little three rooms is just amazing.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, we're in the show, you're going to see an Elvis Presley, Jerry Lee, Johnny Cash, Roy Orbison, to name just a few.
You also see Carl Perkins, and you'll see Rufus Thomas, and you'll appreciate the music of B.B. King, Howling Wolf, all the way through, with a bit of Billy Lee Riley thrown in there for good measure. And it's eight guys on stage doing everything that they love, all played live, very authentically. And you'll also get the amazing harmony vocals of the Prisoners reenacted on stage as well in Just Walking in the Rain.
Now, it is a concert. It's not like the Jersey Boys, where it's a story as well.
Absolutely not. It came about by me going to see another Sun show, which you probably know anyway. And I went to see it in London a couple of times, and because I knew a couple of guys in it. Ben Goddard, who was playing the Jerry Lee character, is a very good friend of mine. And I phoned up John Singleton, an American. I said, "Like, listen, John, I've seen this musical, and the music's fantastic, but the story's all wrong. It didn't happen like that. And I know it didn't, because Colin Escott and Martin Hawkins, who wrote Good Rockin' Tonight, are known to me as well. So it didn't happen like that." And Martin, when I contacted Martin, he was surprised that Colin went down the line, because actually Colin Escott wrote the script for the musical. So John said to me, "I'm going to be in Paris in 2 weeks' time." I said, "I'll see you there." So I went to across to Paris. He asked me what my ideas were. I told him so. He invited me to Nashville. I flew into Nashville. I was very fortunate to meet up with Scotty, who was still alive then, because he came into the studio, as did DJ and Karen, his lovely wife. And they only live in Antioch, which is just by Nashville Airport.
Yeah.
They came into the place, and we had a lovely get-together. And I got 100% support from those guys, from Jimmy Van Eaton, from Fluke Holland when he was still alive, because he only passed away a couple of years ago, and more than that, Bobby Crawford from the Pacers, Sonny Burgess's Pacers, and all these guys. I've seen what I've done, following what I've done, and 100% lent their support to it, which was wonderful, because I was on the right road then. I knew I was on the right road, and by completely staging the concert, or celebrating the music from Sun, shall I say, rather than the concert that wasn't. What we do is we celebrate everything that came through those doors. Not every single song, obviously, but we cover the popular stuff. I mean, we really do pay special tribute to the black music that came out of Sun, as well as the white music, because that's not really been recognized too much. Even though Sam recorded an awful lot for the Bihari Brothers and Chess, he did so much for so many other people that wasn't recognized. He wasn't given the due credit. And Sam was truly an innovator, and he was totally colorblind, shall I say. He never saw things as racially or black and white. He just saw the music, you know, and that was wonderful what came out of those studios.
Oh, amazing. I'm really looking forward to it. Do you get the audiences up dancing? Because I can't imagine.
Oh, mate, that is part of the deal. We put an announcement up. John Singleton comes on the screen before to recognize that this is the official tour. And we got a voiceover going out saying, like, you know, listen, as long as you don't use a flash or professional photography, record and picture away with your phones as much as you want. And in getting involved, singing and dancing is not so much a request. You know what? It's a requirement. You can't help but. We celebrate everything right up until the last 15, 20 minutes of the second half. And the last 15, 20 minutes of the second half is what Sun gave to the world. We actually then explore a couple of years after that to do the Pretty Woman's. We do the Hound Dogs, and you know, we all that sort of stuff that came after Sun finished with these guys' careers. It's basically without Sun, there wouldn't have been a Rolling Stones. There wouldn't have been a Beatles.
No, that's right.
Because the first thing that John Lennon said to Paul McCartney when he wanted to join the Quarrymen is, "Can you play Honey Don't by Carl Perkins?" Yeah. And all Mick Jagger, all his influences, Keith Richards' influences, are all down on Howling Wolf, B.B. King, that sort of like end of raw blues music. You know, it's just an amazing catalogue to be involved with.
I remember after all that, I remember there was a guy called Orion.
He
was fun.
Well, that was all stage manager, as you can imagine.
Yes.
Because and Shelby, who took over Sun after that, obviously bought into that hugely and used to release all the Orion stuff with the mask, and everyone thought that was Elvis, but it wasn't, obviously.
No, of course not.
And it turned out, but the thing is, Shelby was a very astute man. As much as he bought the Sun catalogue and the Sun records, or everything to do with Sun, he had his own label at the time, which was the Phillips label, he also had Redbird. I mean, he put the Dixie Chicks on the Going to the Chapel and We're Going to Get Married. He released that on his own label. So there's so many labels that Shelby owned. Sun was a major part of it, fair enough. But, I mean, all the Carl Mann, all the Charlie Rich stuff that came out on the Phillips label, but then was transferred to Sun after they were a hit. So it really is. He was completely had his finger on the button when it came to that type of music in those days. But Sam, you can't say nothing wrong with that guy. That guy was a producer and a half. What he couldn't get down on tape was amazing. And he certainly made the most shrewd investment when he sold Sun Records, because he invested half his money in an upcoming motel chain. You probably know the story. And he bought shares in a very small motel chain called the Holiday Inn.
Oh, my goodness.
Which became what it became. And that guy absolutely struck lucky.
So you're taking this show all around the country?
We are. Thing is, quite honestly, we've had a very tough time the past 2 years, as you can imagine.
Yep.
And we had lots of plans for this show. And everything that we had has been pretty much moved into 23, because we didn't know when this pandemic was going to end.
Sure.
So where the shows lie at this moment in time, we're going to let them lie and we're going to play them through it, including the wonderful Camberley Theatre down in Surrey. We're going to let that happen. Everything's going to happen. But in 23, we actually renew our proper tour. We start in Holland, Belgium, Germany, and we're doing that in January and half of Feb. Then we go to Scandinavia until the end of Feb, first week of March. We have a month off then. We start a 55-day UK tour up and down the country, playing places like the Cadogan Hall in London, playing the Royal Concert Hall in Nottingham, all the way up to the Eden Court in Inverness, and all the way down to the Hall for Cornwall and Truro. So we're doing 55 dates, doing a few summer shows, and then the show goes for a week to Dubai, week to India, 6 weeks in Australia, doing a week in Abu Dhabi on the way back, and then we're taking Coles to Newcastle. We're doing 5 dates in the Orpheum Theatre on Beale Street in Memphis.
Brilliant.
And we're doing 5 dates at the TPAC, the Tennessee Performing Arts Center in Nashville.
Nice. Okay, well, I feel very honored that I'm going to be able to see it this early, which is a couple of weeks' time, May the 12th at the Camberley Theatre. So if there's any tickets left, which I'm sure there may, well, I don't know if there is actually, but if there is.
No, there are some tickets left.
Yeah, so people
there are some tickets.
Go out and get it. Because,
get phoning, yeah.
Yeah, it's worth the trip because it's not going to be around until next year. It's good.
Definitely not.
Pete, you're going to be there on Wednesday?
I certainly will be there on the 12th of May.
Okay, well, let's catch up and have a drink. And
I look forward to having a drink with you, and I'll catch up with yourself.
Brilliant, Pete. Thanks so much for the interview.
All the very best, and thank you very much for inviting me on.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Pete. Bye-bye.
Bye. You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much of love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. No, no, no.
goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I let it love what I thought it was funny. You came along and woo, now honey, I've changed my mind. This love is fine. It's just great balls of fire. Kisses, baby. Mmm, feels good. Hold me, baby. Well, I want to love you like I love a should. You're fine, so kind. Got to tell this world that you're mine, 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 mine. That you my nails and I twiddle my thumb. I'm real nervous, but it sure is fun. Come on, baby. It drives me crazy. It's just great balls of fire. Hold me, baby. Well, I want to love you like I love a should. You're fine, so kind. Got to tell this world that you're mine, 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 mine. That you're my nails and I twiddle on my thumb. Real nervous, but it sure is fun. Come on, baby, drive me crazy. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.